This episode of the Disney Nerds Podcast is brought to you by TouringPlans.com. Spend more time on rides and less time in line enjoying Walt Disney World.
Welcome to the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome. Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
The Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the magical worlds of Disney.
Ma chère mademoiselle, it is with deepest pride and greatest pleasure that we welcome you tonight. And now, we invite you to relax, let us pull up a chair, as the dining room proudly presents your dinner. Be our guest. Be our guest. Put our service to the test.
Hello, and welcome to show number 257 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. Hey guys, we hope you had a great week, and welcome back to the show. This week, we're going to be discussing our must-do table service restaurants at Walt Disney World. And we're really excited to bring that to you, but tonight, let me share with you who we have. We have Sam. Sam, how are you doing tonight?
I'm great, Lisa. It is must-do dining.
Right? Some exciting topics here. We love our service meals there at Walt Disney World. And who else could I ask to come on tonight's show than my favorite live show fill-in and always talking about food, Morgan. How are you doing tonight, Morgan?
Hey guys, how's it going? I am ready to dig in.
I get it. That's good.
I love it. So I think tonight, guys, we'll talk about some of our favorite must-do table service restaurants. I think we'll go park by park. Then maybe we'll talk about a few restaurants at some of our favorite resorts. And then we'll try to pick a couple of our favorites down at Disney Springs. And we know with that remodel, that has been something that has been really challenging as of late to pick some of our favorite food down there.
Yeah, especially since we can't say all of them as our answer.
No, that's unacceptable, Morgan. You cannot say that.
If we of them, according to my Disney experience, that is 147 different places that you could potentially be. That's a lot of places, and I think it's overwhelming, especially for somebody that hasn't been there in a while or wants to try something new and doesn't want to be running over to counter service with Jimmy and Ed, where those guys are, which is fine. There's nothing wrong with that, but I really enjoy at least once a day sitting down and getting that table service out of the heat, take a load off, you know, sit back, and by the way, leverage my Tables of Wonderland card, which, you know, should probably be part of this conversation, but I'm doing a sit-down dining pretty much every day.
I think all three of us are Tables in Wonderland card holders.
Yes, we are, and that is something, I really think Tables in Wonderland is one of those investments. If you are into sitting down at least once a day or at least a couple of times a trip, Tables in Wonderland pays for itself.
It will. Now, it takes a little longer these days, and you have to do the math, just like you do for the dining plan, because the dining plan should probably be considered, too. Tables in Wonderland, the cost has gone up, but of course it has, right? and so everybody knows what we're talking about is Tables in Wonderland, essentially, at just about all of the sit-down restaurants. Now, check blackout days. It doesn't work on holidays, and there are some restrictions, but for the most part, you're going to get 20% off of dining, and they're going to add in an 18% gratuity. So basically, the way I look at it is you're getting the meal for the price that's on the menu, the tips included. Oh, and by the way, it also works for alcoholic beverages in those locations. So depending on how much you're there, it could pay for itself pretty quickly.
That, I love that part. And then a thing I think that a lot of people forget about with Tables in Wonderland is if you go to, and again, you got to you know, check the blackout dates and all that, but you get your reservation at a resort for dining, free valet.
Absolutely.
And it counts at Springs for some of them, not every single one.
Yeah, you have to look out, and typically the newer places don't have Tables in Wonderland just yet. It takes a little bit of time, and then eventually they'll get Tables in Wonderland. But it's definitely worth it. You know, one of the places I love valet is the Boardwalk. I mean,
yes.
You can make yourself a reservation at ESPN during a game, and you'll get free valet parking, which is pretty awesome.
Yes, it is. And one of the other things that you need to take into account, which isn't something that I realized until I got the Tables in Wonderland card, is that at the lounges connected to a lot of these restaurants, it certainly covers the alcoholic beverages. And one of them that I absolutely didn't take into account is you get your Tables in Wonderland discount at Rose and Crown.
Rose and Crown, because it's also a restaurant, right? So in Rose and Crown, it works. If you go into the sci-fi dine-in, not sci-fi, the 50s, the tune-in lounge, it works there. It works at Tutto Gusto back in Italy. It works at the tequila bar. There, you need to ask. It's one of those things, and they're not going to tell you. Ask, and you know, 20% is pretty sweet.
I do have on my phone constantly, and I have an iPhone, so constantly on Safari. One of the things that has popped up on my phone is what discounts are available, not only for pass holder, because I'm a pass holder,
yep,
but also for Tables in Wonderland.
Yep.
And that's one thing I actually ask every dining place that sit down, even if it's just a lounge. I will say, do you have a pass holder or Tables in Wonderland discount? Every single place.
Yeah, and you need to.
And it actually paid off. And I know we're talking about dining service, but when I stayed at All Star Movies Labor Day weekend with Jimmy and Charlotte, I used to not be able to use Tables in Wonderland at food courts. I could use my Tables in Wonderland at movies.
Very yep. Nice.
You can at Pop as well now.
Yep.
If you look at the list, all those food courts at the value resorts now included in your Tables in Wonderland.
Which is a good reason to always check and keep your list updated of where you can use your Tables in Wonderland.
See that? We didn't even plan on talking about Tables in Wonderland, and we did. So now, resort by resort, jump in, because you do your fast passes. You do your dining reservations. In fact, dining you can do quite a bit before fast passes. Is that correct? You guys know the date?
180 days for dining.
So that is considerably further ahead than FastPass Plus. And I know in some cases we've done our dining reservations at the 180-day mark to make sure we get some of the things we really like, and we'll talk about that. Then you sort of have to go back and retrofit your fast passes around dining. Because at the end of the day, attractions are things we do between meals, right?
It certainly is in my family.
Exactly.
That is, you know what's really funny about that is that is something that, like, up until recently when we started going more often, our whole entire trip was revolving around food. It wasn't, what do we want to do on Monday? Let's look at the crowd calendar. It was, okay, what do we want to do on Monday? What did we book for reservations that day?
Let's figure that out. And it happens now, too. As far as backing into those places. So.
And that's one thing I think is kind of hard for people that don't go regularly to kind of understand, that you have to think 180 days out, okay, on this day, what do I feel like eating?
Yeah, it's hard to, right? And I think, so when you talk about dining, especially sit-down dining at Walt Disney World, you know, anytime I go dining, I kind of put it into different categories, right? There's the theming and the things that are going on around you. Then there's the quality of the food and the menu selections. And then maybe the value of what you're getting. Although when you're in Walt Disney World, I think the term value is somewhat, you know, it's not typical to a restaurant outside of Walt Disney World, right? You're going to pay a little more because you're in the park. So we know that. We accept that. We're on vacation. So how much stock do you guys put into the theming versus the food? Is it about the food or is it about sitting in a castle to have the dinner?
I think it used to be for me about the theming. And now as I've gotten older, my kids have gotten older, it's a lot more about the food.
I think it's, for me, I think it's a little combination of both, depending on the specific restaurant. But if I have to choose one or the other, it's definitely food.
I and I'm with you guys. It used to be all about the theme, but I actually think I'm to the point now where almost have done, especially in the parks. I think we've done a lot of them, and it's not a big deal if we do or don't go back. For special occasions, I think the theme becomes a little bigger, right? A birthday or something along those something along that line.
100% agree.
So I guess with that said, and if we're going to start with parks, maybe we should start with the parks that are going to be easier because they don't have as many restaurants. Is that okay?
Sounds like a plan.
Yeah,
works for me.
And when I talk about not having a lot of restaurants, you know, it's probably a toss-up between Animal Kingdom and Hollywood Studios. Because there's not a lot of options in either one. But you guys want to start at Animal Kingdom? What's your go-to Animal Kingdom if you're planning the day and you got to get a reservation? Morgan, what are you going to book?
Yak and Yeti. No pausing on that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you didn't stutter at all. And for me, I might stutter a little bit. I think it depends. But gut instinct is Yak and Yeti. I want to try Tiffin's, but I don't know whether or not that menu is going to appeal to me. So Yak and Yeti would probably be it for me.
And I'm with you guys. Yak and Yeti is one that my family absolutely loves. The menu has a lot of great selections. Although I think we should caution people, the menus change a lot. In all of these restaurants. Sometimes it's for the better. Sometimes it's the, oh, man, that thing I used to get all the time isn't on the menu anymore. But we find another favorite. Yak and Yeti I absolutely love. I have been to Tiffin's. Tiffin's is a signature dining experience, which I think, is that code for two dining credits or code for
it
more
is.
Money?
Yes, it is.
So it is a little more expensive. We did it early on because of a Rivers of Light dining package. So that and it was good. I'll also say that lounge right next to Tiffin's also takes Tables of Wonderland. Another
Nomad.
One of those little.
The Nomad.
And full menu?
It's not a full menu. It's more of a bar menu, but it's good stuff. It's more small plates, not the full menu.
So the appetizers, things like that.
Appetizers and smaller versions of some of the entrees. But it's definitely in Tables, and it's a great place to just hang out.
That's my list as well. And I'll tell you the same as you, Sam, early on in the retransformation of Animal Kingdom, we did Tusker House as part of the dining package for Rivers of Light. And we did it for breakfast versus lunch only or dinner only because I thought the menu was a little bit less eclectic.
And you're right about that. And one thing we should mention to anybody listening, if you're not aware, you go to My Disney Experience and you can look at the menus before you book any of these things. This stuff's out there. And you're right, Lisa, there were some things my kids were like, what? I'm not eating that. we bought the dining package. You're getting all three entrees. You're getting an entree, a dessert, and you know how that goes.
That's right. And you're going to eat it all because we
paid. Right.
That's when you pull out the old favorites. There are starving children that would be happy to eat this food.
So where does the rainforest rank for you guys? Because there's one at Animal Kingdom and down in Disney Springs. My kids like it. I'm okay, yeah, but there are other places that are other good.
We used to have one locally. It actually closed down. Something that I can have locally is not something that I typically will do while I'm at Walt Disney World.
Absolutely agree.
Yep. Yeah, I agree. I've done the Animal Kingdom. I've done Disney Springs version, including T-Rex, since they're pretty much the same thing. I only recommend them to people that have, I guess, younger kids that are a little pickier eaters. They want the more the burgers, the fries, the chicken fingers kind of kids because the theming is cool to the kids. But, yeah, it's low on my list.
So we all agree Yak and Yeti's the go-to. That's the place that I am reserving. We mentioned Tusker House. We mentioned Rainforest Cafe. And we mentioned Tiffin's. That pretty much is all of them.
That yep. is it. There's only those four. Yep.
That's it. And you know what? We're going to have a similar type situation go on over at Hollywood Studios. What is, and Lisa, I'll ask you first, Hollywood Studios, what's your go-to?
For me here, it would be 50s Primetime.
Morgan, what do you think?
I would say sci-fi with a little asterisk of Brown Derby.
So I it's always a toss-up for the family because we always go for one of them, and that is sci-fi or 50s. And it usually comes down to which one's available. That's the one we'll grab. Love them both. The theming in both of these is absolutely amazing. If you get the right person over at 50s, that plays to it, you absolutely love it. When they start messing with you and talking about dad, and he can't find the keys to the liquor cabinet.
Get your elbows off the table. What are you doing with your phone out?
The walkie-talkie. Don't call a phone. It's a walkie-talkie. Oh, what are you playing with those for at the table?
Oh, that makes it.
It absolutely does.
My kids love it just for the fact that they have that type of experience. I will tell you that I have children with allergies, and they don't have the best allergy menu for somebody with a dairy and egg allergy. So I haven't gone back there.
Okay, good to know.
I should really take the opportunity to see if they've adjusted that. But what they had to offer my daughter was not appealing to her. So we actually haven't gone back in a while because of it. That might be something we're checking out.
Sure. And likewise, heading over to sci-fi, you just watch that loop fall over and see the things that are different in the loop, and the food's wonderful. Although that's one of the places where there used to be a black and blue steak salad on the menu that's not there anymore. We used to love that, but there's other things on the menu that are good. But that's a great one for kids.
You know what?
Sci-fi for me is the one place that I will pick sci-fi over 50s any day, and I feel like I'm kind of the minority in that group, for at least with my friends. And it's kind of funny with that, when I was younger and sci-fi was open, I was traveling with my grandparents every summer to Disney, and my grandfather never let us do dining, and that was the one restaurant that I begged as a kid, please, 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 can we go sit in the cars? I want to go sit in the cars.
Exactly.
And sure enough, when I became an adult and I made my reservation, I was a kid sitting in my car with my milkshake, happy as a clam.
There's nothing wrong with that. And you also mentioned Brown Derby. So in these two parks, Animal Kingdom, and we're kind of talking about all of them, Brown Derby, I think, is an awesome lunch. I love lunch in Brown Derby. They have a burger in there that's got the pastrami on top of it, and it's out of this world. I really like the Brown Derby for lunch. It's another signature restaurant, although for lunch, I don't think it is. Is it just – I'm not exactly sure.
It's showing signature – just period fine / signature dining. I've got the Disney website up as we talk.
Yep.
But yeah, Brown Derby is one of my favorites. And put it this way, the first time I ate there, you know, they bring you, you know, your little rolls and butter and everything like that. I was happy with the butter. It was so good.
Yes, with the salt on top of it.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's a sign of a good place.
Yes, absolutely. And it's the Cobb salad's in there. It's really good. It's it's one that we avoided for a while when we had little ones. Then when we finally did it, it was like, oh, we didn't really need to avoid this. It shouldn't be intimidating. It's the Brown Derby. It's a signature place, but nobody's going in there in suit coats. You know what I mean? It's still in a theme park.
And I think that's what I think intimidates a lot of people, especially with younger kids.
Yeah.
Is they think, okay, it's signature. It's fancy. You know, people are going to be mad if my kids, you know, mad and having screaming or crying or whatever. No, you're at Disney.
It's still a theme park. It's a great place to head into, and it's a great experience.
It's certainly different if you're inside the theme park for that. There were two that were left off the list.
Well, one of them I wanted to get to because, Lisa, I believe, and we talked about these great places. You got Brown Derby, you got the sci-fi, and you got 50s, and they're wonderful, and we pick them all the time. All of that said, in my opinion, the most underrated restaurant in all of Walt Disney World is here in Hollywood Studios, and it's Mama Melrose.
So that's a really interesting statement because I have never experienced Mama Melrose.
I will tell you, from Mama Melrose, and this is true when you get there, you can feed a family with the appetizers, and the appetizers are phenomenal. It's a classic Italian restaurant, right? Mama Melrose in the back by Muppet Vision. It's wonderful. And you can just eat the appetizers and go, oh my gosh, this is good. I love Mama Melrose.
I tried it for the first time with my trip with Jimmy and Charlotte. So very first time trying it, 100% agree. We got fried calamari.
Calamari's fabulous.
split between four people. And Italian food, I love Italian food. But sometimes the menus confuse me because I'm like, wait, what kind of noodle is that? What kind of sauce is that? Like, I need a decoder for the Italian menu sometimes. But man, the food was good. So yeah. We might need to add that to your list.
Add it to the list. The spaghetti and meatball cupcake is great. It's on the kids' menu. It's a cupcake that has the icing is spaghetti with a meatball on top, and
that's awesome.
It's a great dessert. My kids love it, and of course, I sing on top of spaghetti every time they bring it.
Okay, so we need to make a reservation, and Lisa needs to order the cupcake, and Sam, you can sing on top of spaghetti while she eats it.
But it typically ends with me trying to grab it off the kids and eating it, which that's what it leads to. But
I think that would be funny. You and Lisa fighting over the cupcake. It just got better.
I'm not certain that you would win that battle, Sam.
Yeah. I don't know that I'd want to fight it.
You'd reach your hand in. I'm not certain how much of your hand back.
What's the other one here that you were going to mention there, Lisa?
It's Hollywood and Vine, which I have done. So Hollywood and Vine is a character dining experience. I don't know what it is right now at this particular moment, but when I did experience it, it was Disney Junior. We did it many years ago with our kids. It was Jake and the Neverland Pirates and several other characters before Sophia the First joined in there. Is it Minnie?
Well, no, it's seasonal, I've got
it,
right?
I would say I've got it pulled up. It is Disney Junior, but they have seasonal. Like right now, because we're, you know, in the time of Halloween, between September 3rd and November 8th, it's Halloween Dine. Visit Minnie's favorite Happy Haunts for a spectacular Halloween feast that's frightfully delightful.
So I believe that part of that, too, I don't know if it's in front of you there, Morgan, is Vampira or whatever the new Disney Junior Vampire is. Vampirina is part of it.
They sing theme song.
I don't know it. My kids are a little older now. Although this, is she that popular? Because she's part of, and I'm going to segue for a second, she's part of the Disney Junior party in Storybook Circus during the Halloween party over there.
She is immensely popular.
Very, very popular.
She's all of a sudden out of nowhere. She's the, you know, Mickey Mouse is introducing her at Magic Kingdom, and she's starring in this a buffet over there at Hollywood Studios.
Yeah, it's very popular. It's a very cute show. I have caught an episode or two. So,
and that's, like you said, it's seasonal, so it goes fall, and then Mickey and Minnie will have their Christmas outfits on, and then they have a springtime outfit, and they keep mixing it up. It's a character experience, and it's good.
I like that they have done that. I didn't turn away Hollywood. I didn't turn my nose up to Hollywood and Vine because of the character experience so much as I turned my head up to Hollywood and Vine. I didn't necessarily care for the dining.
I was going to say the same exact thing.
There are some character buffets where it's clear that you are paying for the character experience and not necessarily the food.
Yep. I did it with my parents for the last Star Wars weekend. Sad.
Yeah.
So, of course, we got to see Mickey and Minnie and all the characters dressed up in their best Star Wars gear. And even my parents were like, you know what? Like, we paid just to see the characters, and we're very, very disappointed by the food.
Yeah. That's that piece of it, right? So there we have it with circling back to what are we reserving? Are we reserving the theming, or are we reserving the food?
Right.
And that one, you're totally reserving the theming. I would say you only do it if your kids or you really want to meet those characters.
And it's Disney Junior characters, so that right there should show you the buffet. They got the mini buffet. When I say mini buffet, I mean the short buffet that's got the chicken nuggets and the french fries and the kids stuff on it, which is fine. And if it's good if that's what you're after, right? It's vacation, and you want the picture with one of the characters, perfect. All right, yep. So we all agreed at Animal Kingdom. I think at Studios we might be going different directions. I'm going on availability. I don't mind if I see one sold out because I'll jump in the other one. But typically it's Sci-Fi 50s, those two tossed up. And then for us, Mama Melrose has been there many times. We've done that. Mama Melrose also seems to be a reservation you can get late if you've missed the other ones. And Brown Derby's on the list as well.
See, and that's good to know and good to have in pocket just in case.
Yes.
I want to say that when we did the Mama Melrose for Labor Day, that was the same day reservation that we grabbed.
And that's why, because the other ones were probably sold out, and you took that one. And that's, we've done that before, too, the day before or the day after.
Yep.
It's not after, but the day before or the day of sometimes, which is good. All right, so let's go to Magic Kingdom. I'm saving Epcot for last because it's got the most options and the most things to talk about.
It does have a lot of
Magic Kingdom. There are spots in the Magic Kingdom that you need to be ready to reserve at the 180-day mark of your reservation, or sooner if you have that 7-day reservation and you've hit the 180 and you can book 7 days forward. Because if you're looking to get in to be our guests, you're going to need to be able to do that at 180 for sure.
So yeah. set your alarm for that morning.
Yep.
Be our guest, and I would even say Cinderella's Royal Table.
Very close behind it. You're absolutely right. And when I say be our guest, let me step back a second. Lunch and dinner. Breakfast tends to be available. You can keep going that. And I don't know that I'd recommend breakfast at Be Our Guest. I think we talked about that on the show before. But lunch and dinner, definitely.
Yes, I agree. So, Sam, in your opinion, what is your must-do reservation here?
Oh, our must-do reservation here. We would try a lunch at Be Our Guest. But typically, our must-do that happens at least once every trip is Liberty Tree Tavern. Family loves Liberty Tree. I love Liberty Tree. Whether it's... Now, we tend to like the a la carte options that they have there. We've done that more times, and I'm not sure exactly what they're doing these days, but it used to be lunch was a la carte, then dinner was the buffet.
The family style.
It's not a buffet, it's the family style. They keep bringing it out, but I can eat that turkey all day long and not get tired because I'm in the Magic Kingdom.
Yeah, that turkey is so good.
Save room for dessert.
the apple. Yeah.
Yes, the whatever it is, and they rotate that stuff through there.
It is typical, like, New England style.
It absolutely is, yep. Yep. By the way, you can get a Sam Adams in there as well. So all these sit-down restaurants in the Magic Kingdom now serve alcohol.
Nice. What about you, Morgan?
I would say Liberty Tree as well. But now I'm going to start saying a tie between Liberty Tree and Skipper Canteen.
Skipper Canteen's really good. It's not something I'd make a reservation for 180 days out, but it's definitely something that we try to do, you know, every couple of trips.
Yep. How about you, Lisa?
Oh, I agree. I've been to Liberty Tree once. I've done Be Our Guest. I've actually done everything here on our list. But my... do almost every trip is Skipper Canteen, and would like to do again is Liberty Tree Tavern.
Very nice. Now, all those said, I would also say that the Plaza restaurant is wonderful. The Plaza has the ice cream right from the ice cream shop, by the way, so it's a great little light lunch. Tends to be available. I would not overlook the Plaza restaurant.
Agreed.
Much smaller in there than I thought it would. That was the very last check mark on my table service restaurants, and I did that in May, and I was pleasantly surprised.
Yeah, I think the menu's great. They got some wonderful salads. They got some really good sandwiches, and that's what it is primarily. Casual dining. It's really cool, and you're right on Main Street. You're right on the corner of Main Street. You can see the parade if it's going by. You can. Watch people. It's a great spot.
The other thing I want to point out is it appears, and I'll tell you, I went there and I did not have a bad experience, but others have said that they don't like Tony's Town Square restaurant, but I have heard it's made a big comeback. I've heard the food there is actually quite delectable as of late. So I don't know what they've done there, but they've certainly done something right. And if you have tried Tony's before and you didn't like it and you're on the fence and there's a reservation available there, give it a shot again, because whatever they've done there, they've done something right, and I will throw out that the pistachio creme brulee was amazing when I had it.
Very nice.
And I just want to point out that was awesome use of the word delectable there.
As it was. Tony's changed the menu on me one too many times, and I haven't been back, but I would try it again for certain.
Now, another place that I like, now, you know, we did talk Be Our Guest. You did mention that, Sam, but I like the Crystal Palace too. The last time I tried it was, it happened to be the same day that I did Hollywood and Vine with my parents for the Star Wars dining.
Wow, you did them both in the same day?
We did. Okay. The reason why we did them both in the same day is it was one of the 24-hour days. So our reservation was 11 o'clock at night. So just, you know, a little stipulation there.
So let me ask you, if it was Star Wars weekends and you did the studio's character meeting, was it Jedi Mickey by any chance?
Yes, I do have my picture with Jedi Mickey.
Oh, I miss those days.
Yeah, Jedi Mickey and the whole crew in Star Wars gear. That was awesome.
Yeah, you won't find that anymore, but that's anyway, I digress. The Crystal Palace is also a character experience. Who are the characters over there, Morgan?
That is Winnie the Pooh, and my mom loves Eeyore. So for me to get that reservation and take her to go meet Eeyore was a personal, you know, yes for me. I got this reservation from mom. So, but the food was awesome. After being very disappointed with the food at Hollywood and Vine, it total 180 Crystal Palace. The food was great.
The food is very good at Crystal Palace, and the character dining is fabulous as well. Now, another character dining experience that we didn't talk about was Cinderella's Royal Table.
Sure.
And this is not a signature dining, but one of the things that you'd want to know when you make a reservation for Cinderella's Royal Table is that they ask you to pay in advance.
It actually is a signature. It's showing signature and character dining. I guess it depends on if you do lunch or dinner.
Look, if you have, this is the place. Before Be Our Guest, this was the impossible reservation to get, and it's still pretty darn hard to get. If you have little girls and they want to meet Cinderella in her castle or see her princess friends, this is the place to go. And I have wonderful memories when my daughter was younger of going here, and you got to put it on the list, especially if you have young ones.
You do have to put this one on the list. This is it's a must-do if you've never done it. Now, if you've done it before, like I've done
then
it
you know. Yeah. Times,
you know, but this is a must-do, yes.
And I've never done it, and I feel like it's one of those, I need to save that coveted reservation for a special occasion.
And that makes a lot of sense. I would do that. While we're here, I know we weren't going to touch on all of them, but we're here. We might as well. Has anybody been at the Diamond Horseshoe recently? I have not.
Not recently.
It is listed again as a sit-down. I just have not been in there in quite a while. So we'll sit-down table service, but I haven't been in there. So.
And it's actually not currently showing on my Disney experience, so it might not be open again.
Maybe seasonal. Who knows?
Yeah.
I'll be at over at Magic Kingdom. I'll be at Liberty Tree. I think, Lisa, you're going to be at Skipper Canteen. Is that what you said?
Yeah, I think I'll be at Skipper Canteen.
And Morgan, you're going to be over at Crystal Palace or someplace else?
Depending on how hungry I am, I could be at any of those three places. It's total mood food.
I get it.
When you're in Magic Kingdom.
When you're in Walt Disney World in general, there's no wrong answers, but especially Magic Kingdom, right?
Right.
One of the things I will say, the and you kind of mentioned it before, the buffets are a lot of food. And
yes,
you don't want to do two buffets on the same day, unless it's a 24-hour day. I could see
which I haven't done in years, unfortunately.
It's a lot of food, and just be prepared to almost roll out of there sometimes. That's how I feel when I'm done. And it's not comfortable to go and ride some things after that or hit some attractions. So maybe that's one of the reasons why I sort of stay away from the buffets, but I don't avoid them at all costs. There are not many that I do.
Yeah, now I did Liberty Tree. Last time I did Liberty Tree was 4th of July, because, you know, you had a nice American meal on the 4th of July.
Thanksgiving, you have to do Liberty Tree.
I thought that was just perfect. but also for the reason of when you're in the parks on the 4th of July, it is insanely busy. So you want a nice place to sit down, have a good meal. I did the all you can eat, and I didn't eat for the rest of the day because then I staked out my spot to get fireworks and it didn't move for 5 hours.
I get it.
So.
Yeah, there you go. All right, so speaking of mood food, I think that's what Epcot is all about. Is it not mood food? I guess it depends on. I don't even know where to start in Epcot. Do you do World Showcase versus Future World? Do you? You just got to do Epcot. Where are you going to dine? You're going to be in Epcot for the day. Lisa, what reservation are you getting? What reservations are your kids wanting?
Let me tell you this. This is crazy, and I didn't realize this. There are 17 table service restaurants at Epcot. 17! That's insane!
Yeah, it is. Yeah,
so it is. If I am booking a reservation, I there are 17, folks. I have to narrow it down to the best of my abilities.
Sure.
If I narrow it down to two, and this is really tough to narrow it down to two, but if I have
so
to narrow...
Give me one for your kids and one for you. I guess that's fair to say, right? Because we do things differently.
Listen, my kids will do Teppanyaki.
Okay, which is the Japanese hibachi style place.
Yep, they love hibachi, and they any opportunity they get to do hibachi, they'll definitely do it. I'll tell you, a solid second for them would be Coral Reef.
Okay, nothing wrong with Coral Reef.
Yep, they like that environment.
Have you been in Coral Reef when Mickey is scuba diving?
I have not, but I've been in Coral Reef when a cast member has been scuba diving.
Got one time we saw Mickey scuba diving, which was kind of cool.
I'm not even certain I'd know what to do with that image.
Besides take a bunch of photos and post it everywhere. Yeah, look, I got Mickey exactly. Scuba diving.
So as for me, I am at the mouth of both sides of World Showcase, and that is I'm torn between the San Angel Inn and the Rose and Crown.
And that's both sides of World Showcase for sure. San Angel Inn, is that the one inside of Mexico or the one outside?
The one inside.
The one inside. Okay, the one inside that the boat ride goes through.
That's correct, with the starry sky.
Yes. So is that part of why you like it, the theming, the food?
I was going to ask that, yep.
I love, so this restaurant was recommended to us on a trip, maybe 2 years ago. And when we went, I'm not adventurous in the food department at all. So I was a little nervous about going to this restaurant. When I sat down, I thought, well, it's beautiful in here. Like, it was gorgeous. And then I looked at the menu and I thought, I don't understand any of this. I'll try that. And what they brought to the table didn't necessarily look all that appealing, but it tasted amazing. And I couldn't.
Don't know what you had, but you ate it anyway?
I ate it anyways, and it was really good.
Okay.
It was steak of some sort. I'm a meat eater, so it was definitely steak of some sort.
That's what they wanted you to think.
Hey, you know what? I don't care if it was rattlesnake. It was very, very good. And then I know I could probably recite half of the Rose and Crown menu. So that is a must do.
Got it. Right. Is that you? What do your kids want to hit? Oh, you mentioned it. I'm sorry. Teppanyaki.
Yes.
All right, Sam. I was thinking, Sam, it's your turn. What are your choices?
You guys might not believe this one, but my kids are going to Nine Dragons every time.
Really?
Absolutely. They love Nine Dragons. We go to Nine Dragons, and we do it family style, so there's usually four of us. We order four different entrees. We put them all in the middle, and we just start to eat the four entrees. And they absolutely love it. They think it's the best time in the world. And I know a lot of people don't like that. They call it, name your local Chinese restaurant. But it's good for us. They love it, and I don't mind Nine Dragons at all. That's for them. Now, for me, personally, I'm going to go to Via Napoli.
I was going to say, you're going over to Italy.
I'm going to Via Napoli. I'm going to get and I've done it by myself before. I'm going to get the personal or the small pizza with pepperoni, and I believe it's got salami and maybe prosciutto or something like that. Absolutely love it. It's sort of their version of a meat lover's pizza. Absolutely love it. I think it's the best coming out of the coal-fired oven. It's pretty darn good, that's for sure. And Le Cellier is right up there for us, too. A nice filet back in Canada. Lots of great options, and it's really what you're in the mood for. So Chinese, Italian, or steaks in Canada, they're the completely opposite ends of the spectrum, and that's the beauty of Epcot and being able to go anywhere.
Right.
Yes, that's why I love Epcot so much.
Yep. So, Morgan, where are you headed?
Okay, well, since I'm the one without a child, I'm going to have the parents' pick and my pick.
Okay.
Okay. So, parents' pick is going to be Beer Garden.
Okay. Yeah.
My dad, when I was living there, he came for the weekend. They had annual passes at that time. And we just went to Epcot to do Beer Garden and go see fireworks. And when he got a beer the size of his head, he was a happy man.
Beer Garden. There's nothing wrong with that. It's a great place. Pretzel bread on a buffet.
Oh, I mean, it's an awesome buffet, too. So, I mean, yeah. The food is awesome. I go, you know, I've been two or three times, so I love it. So, but that's usually where I'm taking mom and dad, or at least dad.
Nothing wrong with Beer Garden.
So, and then for me, I'm going to restaurant Marrakesh.
Marrakesh.
Marrakesh. And this is good, because this kind of appeals to the Greek in you.
Yes. And that's kind of why. Now, I have not done Spice Roads. So that is probably why I did not pick Spice Roads. I do want to try it, just haven't tried it yet. But I like Marrakesh. I like getting some lamb and some nice rice. Like, it's a nice atmosphere. You know, the food's great. Now, that being said, it's kind of funny looking at the list of all the restaurants in Epcot. I'm like, why haven't I tried that one? Why haven't I tried that one?
Because you're in your one spot all the time. Same with me.
Well, that, and I also snack around the world.
Sure.
And drink around the world more than I actually go and sit down and eat when I'm in Epcot.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we all do. And that's the, you know, we were talking about Magic Kingdom. There are so many counter services and little snacks to grab at Magic Kingdom. And the same's true in Epcot. It's amazing. But although I do that, we started the show by saying, you know, I like to sit down with the family at least once a day just to calm down, you know, pull a map out and maybe say, okay, did we do everything you want to do? What fast passes do we have left? Or if we use that third one, then what do you want to get after that? What do you want to do? Just kind of a check at where we are in the day, and I think it just helps in the trip.
Right. Right. I completely agree with that. And it's kind of funny, usually when I'm with my parents, they are still getting used to the, oh no, sitting down and having a meal in the middle of the day and taking a break is a good thing, instead of just pulling off to the side under a tree and doing the same thing. It's like, yeah, totally different
it's
experience.
Air conditioned in the summer. You get to relax. You get to, you know, and the timing used to be good. You'd make it so that the youngest was sleeping in a stroller, which was always good. I'm sure Lisa's had him sleeping in a stroller inside of those things. Some
yep,
point.
Yep, absolutely.
And because it's air conditioned, and it's wonderful.
Oh yeah.
So this park's tough. I mean, Epcot, it's going to be based on, you know, what's going
mood.
On today, mood, all that good stuff. The other parks are a little more straightforward, although book what you need early. I guess we should talk about character dining at Epcot. There's two character dinings I'm aware of. Is that what it is, just two?
Two is the only one ringing my bell.
Well, their Garden Grill is up inside the land. That's with Chip and Dale and Mickey, and I forget the other. That's all.
It's in Norway.
Norway is Princesses.
Yes, which I've done Oscar House Royal Banquet Hall for one of my girls' trips with the girls that I lived with in the college program.
Very nice.
And I'm actually pulling it up. One thing I liked, the food was okay. It is a buffet.
A lot of herring, a lot of pickled things.
Yeah, I mean, it's Norway.
So everything's pickled.
Yeah,
it's okay if you like pickles.
You got to keep that in mind. One thing I liked, obviously, was a girls' trip, so we got to meet all the princesses, and Mary Poppins was also there, and I'm looking it up.
Mary Poppins was there. Very nice.
Yes, and I had a little emotional moment because my grandmother used to sing Feed the Birds and everything to me, and my grandfather had just passed away, so I was, like,
okay.
Practically crying with Mary Poppins. It was kind of funny. Well, not funny, but you know.
No, it's good. It's a memory.
I had a Disney moment. But what I liked about it is at that time, when you first walk through the line, one of the princesses is usually there for you to do a group photo with. In our point, it was Belle. And the picture was included in the cost of our buffet.
Oh, that's very nice.
And I don't see where it's showing that right now. So.
Now, the one thing to add regarding that particular buffet, if you have the little girl that is bent on seeing as many princesses as you can, and you cannot get into, or you did get into Royal Table over at Cinderella's Castle in Magic Kingdom, this is the perfect alternative or the second to keep that experience going, for certain.
Right, right.
Anna and Elsa are both in there these days, correct?
Well, I went before. I went pre-Frozen.
I believe Anna and Elsa are in there. I don't want to quote who is
or isn't. Right now, it's saying, all who attend the royal banquet can expect to meet several of the following Disney characters. Snow White, Cinderella, Belle, Princess Aurora, and Ariel. So,
okay, so
Anna and Elsa are not listed, but
well, they're
you never
right
know.
Across the street over at their meet and greet is probably why. Right on the other side of that building is the banquet hall where they meet people all day long.
So a good tip for that is you do have, you know, your kid who loves the princesses. You do a breakfast reservation at Oscar House before World Showcase opens. So that way you are one of the first people in line to meet Anna and Elsa when World Showcase opens.
Or ride Frozen, however you might want to do it.
Exactly.
Yep. That's perfect. All right. We talked about the parks. There is so much more to experience at Walt Disney World than just four theme parks. I don't even know where to start with this one. Where are you going? And I'll put it in some categories because I think you guys may do the same. There's special occasions and the things that you would do. And then there's the, hey, we're staying in this resort, or we're going to be close to this one, or this is something I want to do. What are you doing outside of the parks? Morgan, we'll go with you first. What are you doing outside the parks?
Well, I always try to eat at the restaurants at the resorts I'm actually staying at, you know, to experience.
Sure. So let's talk resorts, and then we'll go to Springs, because I think we need to separate those. So we'll talk resorts first. Okay.
So for me, it depends on which resort I'm at and location, just like you said. But if location is not a factor, I need my bread service at Sanaa.
Sanaa?
That's a great choice.
I have been there, and it's a very good choice, yeah.
And then I would say special occasion. And you guys can tell me if you don't consider this a table service. But I would say the tea party at Grand Floridian.
That's absolutely table service because you're needing to make a reservation and I've never done it. Have you done it before?
I've done it twice. I did it once with my mom when we were staying at Grand Floridian, which that is a great mother-daughter experience. It's also a great, in my opinion, father-daughter experience.
Okay.
And then I did it with my friend for her birthday because nobody would do it with her. And I said, I would love to do it because I love tea.
Very good. So give me it in a nutshell, because I'm not familiar with it. I've seen it on the list before, and it's tea and desserts, or what do you get?
It's a full, I guess, I don't know if you'd call it an English tea service. So you get a menu, you pick what type of tea, which bunch of different types of tea, you name it, they basically got it. And then you get three courses and it's pretty much little finger foods. You get like little sandwiches, you get little quiches, you get little jams and spreads to put on biscuits and some little breads, and then you also get a dessert. And the dessert that I always get, it's strawberries and cream, and in the cool Disney way that Disney does it, they take, I don't know what it is in red, but it's the strawberry color, and do the Grand Floridian logo on my whipped cream.
That's cool.
Which is a cool way to end your tea party.
Sure.
That's amazing. That's awesome.
So, if you haven't done it, I recommend it. It's a great, you know, special moment, especially if it's two of you, because it's this nice relaxing atmosphere and you can have a nice conversation, just two of you or three. I would say more than three would be a little noisy.
Got it. I like it. How you were staying there. People have asked me before and I really couldn't answer because I haven't tried it. Is it something where you could leave the Magic Kingdom, jump a monorail, do it, and then come back? Or would you recommend doing it when you have more time to dedicate to it?
I would call it more of an experience. Okay. So this is not something you want, you know, okay, we've got, you know, X amount of time between this fast pass and that, let's jump the monorail. I would do that either after you've got a good block of time between fast passes at Magic Kingdom, or you're doing a half day for some reason, because the tea service is only the afternoon. So this is not something you can get at night after the parks are closing.
So give me a time then, like afternoon.
I would say, and I want to pull it up and try to find it.
Thinking it sounds like a great place to spend some time where you're waiting for your hard-ticketed event to come good at 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Actually, that would be a perfect time to do it. Afternoon tea is between 12 and 4.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense then.
And they do a princess tea for, and I think that's a little more geared towards the little ones. There's no characters, but there's, I guess, more of a fairy godmother.
Okay.
I haven't done it myself. I've just seen it when I've been in the lobby at Grand Floridian. But yeah, 12 to 4 for the regular afternoon tea. And this is not something you want to rush through. You want to kind of savor this experience that you're having.
Sure.
It's great advice.
Any others to mention?
Those are my two go-tos that spring to my head. I mean, obviously...
Yeah, sure. And we'll talk springs in a few minutes.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's obviously other resorts that...
Yeah. There are so many that I can pick that I'll wait until last, so... Lisa, what do you think?
I'm sticking two for now.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to have a hard time sticking with two.
So go for it.
So listen, I think first and foremost, I will book a reservation for my kids.
Okay.
My kids will be hard-pressed to turn down any reservation at the Wilderness Lodge Whispering Canyon Cafe.
Okay, very good.
Catch up.
That's right. They love that experience, and anytime I say we want to make a reservation, the first thing they say is, can we go to Whispering Canyon?
I have not experienced this, but I've heard all about it.
Oh, it's a great – and that just like – it's – Sam, it's just like 50s primetime.
Okay.
It is about the staff and how well they banter with you.
Sure.
Nothing's funnier than when you're eating at Whispering Canyon and you have straws thrown at you. I'm just saying.
Literally. Like when you ask for some water and they bring you over a gallon of it.
Oh, I love that part. Or when they put the kids in jail.
Yes. It is. It's a lot of fun.
It's pretty good.
It's a great environment. As for special occasion dining, I don't think that this goes without saying from my mouth, I will never, ever, ever turn down a meal at California Grill.
I knew you were going to go there. In fact, I think you wrote a blog all about that once upon a time, did you know?
Not only did I write a blog about it, I said this on the live show. This week marks the 2-year anniversary of when I joined you and Jimmy.
Ah, yep. Yep, yep, yep.
So I'll never turn down California Grill. I love everything there, and typically I'll go with what the chef recommends.
Oh, don't show me the menu. Whatever the chef likes tonight.
What does the chef like tonight? And I've had the fish there. I've had, you know, bison. I've had my most recent trip there. I had the Wagyu beef. It was so good. That's what I will tell you. What does the chef recommend tonight? That's what I'm going to go with.
Very nice.
I have to add one more, because if I don't, I'm just in trouble. And I got it the other night, so Morgan knows where I'm going here. After our proposal and on our honeymoon, Kona Cafe is a must-do for us.
Very nice. And Kona Cafe is in the Poly, correct?
Kona Cafe is in the Poly, yes.
Get your Tonga toast for breakfast.
Very nice. And I'll tell you what's great about this. You guys both picked a couple, you know, five things. I have three written down and nobody mentioned them.
That's how that works.
But that's what's so great about the resorts.
Absolutely. And it's amazing the different things that you can go for there. And I don't know that when it comes to resorts, the kids are pretty much willing to try whatever. We've done lots of things, although I'm quite sure that they would all rather be in a park. As far as the resorts go, wherever we're staying, if there's a food court, they're fine with that. Let's just get what we have to do, jump in a swimming pool, and move on, right? That's the mentality, and I'm fine with that mentality. I understand it. It's not a problem. For me, in special occasions, there's a couple. And I'll save the one for last here. I'll start with Narcoossee's. Narcoossee's is over the Grand Floridian. If you can get a reservation back there, a dinner for two, nice romantic spot, fireworks at Magic Kingdom, you're sitting on the balcony, Narcoossee's is absolutely a wonderful sit-down, experience, signature dining experience. Love it. Have either of you guys tried Narcoossee's before?
I have not tried it.
I have. I thought it was fabulous.
It's good. It's good.
So, it sounds like I need to wait for a romantic moment to try Narcoossee's, though, the way you're painting the picture.
There's a great bar in there as well that you can sit at.
Okay, so I'm just going to go at the bar and enjoy.
The next one I'd go for is, we mentioned the Cellier when we were over at Epcot. I believe, and I've said on the show and I've blogged about it, the best steak in Walt Disney World is very close to that location, and it's the Yachtsman Steakhouse back at the Yacht Club.
Oh, great meal.
I love the Yachtsman Steakhouse. One of the things that, well, number one, it's the only place with an in-house butcher, so they have dry-aged steaks. They're hanging right there. They'll give you a tour of the kitchen and show you everything that's happening. If you're there through the day, the butcher's probably back there cutting stuff up, which is awesome. I love one of the appetizers that they have, which is the Land Garden Salad, where all of the things on the plate came from the land over at Epcot. I just think it's so cool, and I finally get to eat that lettuce that you see red and green making the Epcot logo as you're going through. I think it's the best.
So you go to Epcot, you ride Living with the Land, and then you go have dinner, and you ate what you just saw.
Yes, and it's one of those things where you're like, I know this was in that thing. This is perfect, and it's good. It's really, really, really good. And the last one, when it comes to special occasion, it was maybe a once-in-a-lifetime thing for me, and I did a Sam's Disney Diary about it and all that stuff, and that is the Queen Victoria room over at Victoria and Albert's. That's the 10-course. It was an anniversary meal. It was just out of this world. It was also pretty darn expensive. But you know what? It's once in a lifetime, so we did it, and it was just awesome.
And Queen Victoria, is that the chef's table?
Not the chef's table. So the chef's table is, there's one table. It's the chef's table, and you got to get that at the 180-day mark. I didn't do that. The second thing is the Queen Victoria room, which is four or five tables in a separate room outside of the main dining room, where it's a very similar experience, where it's 10 courses, and they bring them out to you one at a time, and it's pretty darn interesting, that's for sure.
Very interesting.
But all that said, California Girl's pretty darn good, too. Get that receipt and go back and watch the fireworks. Oh.
Oh, yeah. Great. Great opportunity there.
That's awesome. So there's lots of things to do, and there's pretty much a sit-down restaurant in all of the moderate and deluxe resorts. I even think a few of the values may have one as well. But there are lots of people that go out of their way to go to some of these other places, whether it's Artist Point or whether it's some of the others. There's lots that can be mentioned.
And I think a lot of people not underestimate, but they forget about all these amazing options in the resorts.
Yep.
You're so busy in the parks. You come back to your room after a long day, so you just go to quick service, grab something, and go to your room and crash. I tell people all the time, you know what? Take that midday break, especially like Magic Kingdom. Jump on the monorail. Go to one of the resorts. Try something there. And get that like mental break. I think that's like the perfect thing to do. Just try the resorts.
Yes. I think that there's a lot of there's untapped resources, if you will.
Yes.
Absolutely. And there's usually availability, which makes it even better, right?
Right.
All right. Yeah. Disney Springs, the brand new Disney Springs. I think everything, as soon as I think they're done building things, something else gets torn up or tore down and they start building something else.
You think, where can they fit one more thing and then something else comes out?
Yeah, so, well, they'll tear something down and put something up, which is exactly what they did, tearing down the old Disney Quest and putting up an NBA something or other. But it's right. Still construction all over the place down there. So Disney Springs. I'll go first here if that's all right.
Yeah, because you go first.
Everybody knows where I'm going. I'm going to the boathouse. I am absolutely positively going to the boathouse. The boathouse, the dream boats, the waterfront dining, the outside bar. I love the boathouse. I'll go there every day, all day. And I think I may have done that once or twice before.
Now, here's a question for you, Sam. I know you love the boathouse, and I've gone to the boathouse with you.
Yeah.
And you, not that I didn't, I had been to the boathouse before, not that I didn't enjoy the boathouse, but it is a far better experience when you go and enjoy it with somebody who like you love the boathouse.
we I got quite a few things off of that menu, if I remember.
It was a very entertaining trip.
But I feel like I should now save my first time going to boathouse for Sam.
Yeah, it was an interesting night, that's for sure.
It was. So with that being said, with all the changes that are going on down there, are there one or two table service restaurant experiences that you have not done that are on your list, on your radar?
Absolutely there are, especially here at Disney Springs. Because between myself going to the boathouse and my kids wanting to go to Planet Hollywood, because they love the new Planet Hollywood. They love the over-the-top type burgers and the huge screen that you look up at and the music videos and the cartoons. We usually end up in one of those places now. But I'm looking at the other stuff here going, man, the Edison, Edzo's Hideaway, this stuff just looks so good. I just haven't gotten there. So, yes, it's on my radar.
Beautiful. As for me, I'm going to go to the other side here, and I'm going to say Raglan Road.
There's nothing wrong with Raglan Road.
So insert Irish music here.
Insert Irish music right here.
And dancers.
That's right. Just entertainment-wise, but food, that is one of those things where it's all about the food. And I do tear down my Irish heritage there, and I love just...
It's very good. I love Raglan Road. I guess if there's one thing about Raglan Road, it feels like it's been there the longest. So for a while there, it was the only thing that we did at Disney Springs or Downtown Disney when it was, because nothing else was really high on the radar, which is probably why we haven't been there before, but I have no problem with it. I love Raglan Road.
And then there's a piece of me that says, you know what? It's still there, and it's holding on for it's that good.
Yeah, exactly. They built around it. Let's be honest. They had construction walls all the way around that thing and changed everything around it, but it's still there.
Still standing.
Yep.
Now, since you're talking about Raglan Road, here's a question for you guys. Have either one of you guys done the Rollicking Raglan Brunch?
No.
Oh.
Must add that to your list. It used to be just Sundays, and I've got it pulled up. So it was like kind of a, you know, Sunday brunch kind of thing. But now, I guess it was so popular, it is Saturdays and Sundays.
Ooh. So brunch, what are you talking, like 11 o'clock to 3 or something like that?
10 to 3.
Oh, I was darn close. 10 to 3, okay.
Yep. So, you guys haven't tried, write that down, add that to your list. Rollicking Raglan Brunch.
Rollicking Raglan Brunch, nice. Any others there besides Raglan Road, Lisa? It's got to be another one.
Well, I do like the boathouse. I'll tell you what's on my radar when we talk about things that are on our radar.
Okay, that's fine. Then we'll let Morgan go. Where are you going, Morgan?
So the one place that I always end up is Frontera Casino, which I probably mispronounced it. But I always end up there because it's always available. Or I'm always with somebody that wants Mexican food.
So
but
it's Mexican. Where is it exactly? I'm not even sure.
So it's in the newer part with all the shops.
Okay.
Lisa will like this description of where it is. It's across from the Alex and Ani store.
I'm familiar with the location of the restaurant and the store.
Oh, that's funny.
You know, I just thought I'd throw that out. I mean, unfortunately, I look at it like, okay, Alex and Ani's here, Sprinkles. Okay, there's Frontera.
Oh,
like,
I know where the donut machine is. That's where it is? Or not donut, the cupcake ATM. Cupcake, I know where that is.
So basically turn the corner and you're at Frontera. That place is amazing. If you guys like Mexican food, I definitely recommend it. But if I have, like, one place that I've had to go lately, Homecoming, fried chicken, mic drop.
That's on my list.
All right, let's talk about this place, because I have had other people tell me that Chef Art Smith's Homecoming is a place that I have got to go to, and I've not been there yet. So obviously you have.
I have, and if I ever meet Art Smith, I want to give him a big old hug and say thank you.
Because of the fried chicken or the whole place, or what's going on there?
All of the above. So fried chicken is what it is known for.
Okay.
So this is just how it's called. It's Homecoming. So this is comfort food. This is, he's a Florida chef. So you've got local Florida comfort food. So you've got, like I said, fried chicken. You've got deviled eggs. You've got shrimp and grits.
Okay.
I'm in. I tried the chicken sandwich, which was the fried chicken. I tried the chicken sandwich because it was a cheaper option to get the fried chicken. Hint, hint there. Just want to save some money.
Yeah.
But, oh, my God. Like, it was one of those, I took a bite, and I just, like, had a moment. It was like the Homer Simpson moment.
That's good. I see they also have a Rise and Shine brunch over there on Saturday and Sunday. Now, where are you going to go? Here, or are you going to go over Raglan Road?
Well, Raglan Road Saturday and Sunday, so I'll
this
do Raglan
Saturday,
Road.
This Saturday, Sunday. Oh, you got one both days. I get it.
Ah-ha-ha-ha.
I got it.
I'm thinking here.
Now, I have been told by some people that won't be named that there is some moonshine here that you can sample and taste. Is anyone aware of that?
I am aware of that. I am also aware of moonshine.
So it's true. It's true.
It's true. Well, as far as we know, it's true.
Okay.
You know, I say we go in November and find out 100%. We need to do our due diligence.
I understand.
You know, for the sake of all the listeners. You know?
Things we do.
I mean, it's a tough job, but somebody's got to do it. But in addition to the tasting, they have moonshine cocktails, and you can get a refillable cup. And
refillable cup. Hold on. Refillable cup. So this is like a mug or a mason jar, or what are we putting our moonshine in?
It is, and I want to pull up the picture. It is more of a sports bottle, water bottle.
Okay, all right.
Kind of look to it.
Okay.
And you get to choose. Last time I looked, there were, I think, 3 or 4 options of moonshine cocktails. And it is an amazing deal if you are going to get more than one cocktail, because it is cheaper to refill that than I think get another drink itself. It's, last time I looked, $12 lifetime refills.
Whoa, lifetime?
Lifetime. Wow.
I just got to carry this thing back. I can do that.
So take that in your bag every
Isn't
time.
Isn't that
you
what the resort mugs once were? Lifetime? Oh, never mind.
We're not going to go down that road.
Once upon a time, they were. Because I'm just thinking about it. Am I going to take a mug back? And then I'm thinking, well, I used to do that. So, yeah.
Now you're going to pack your homecoming refillable cup instead of the refillable mug.
Yeah. As long as there's no RFID under it, that's awesome. I love it.
Yep.
Well, you're still paying for it. You're just paying a little less.
Exactly. Because I think the because there's the I don't know how much that, like, the size-wise. Okay, so it's a 22-ounce squeeze bottle.
Okay, there you go, squeeze bottle.
Okay.
Just so you can get the moonshine faster. That's good.
And if you went there and just got your 16-ounce regular drink, it'd be $12. So it makes sense. If you're going to go there more than once in your lifetime.
Right.
I like it.
Get this.
I like it. All right, what else do we have at Springs?
Oh my gosh, we could talk all day about Springs, I feel like.
Can.
I do want to go back to Planet Hollywood. I liked Planet Hollywood before they redid it. So I'm excited to try it.
I think that Guy just knocked it out with some of the stuff in there. I mean, the burgers are awesome. I like it.
Right. I don't want to sleep on House of Blues. I've been there many times when it was Downtown Disney, and the food's good there. So, you know, I don't want anybody to forget about House of Blues. That place is awesome as well.
Or Splitsville, which is known of the best sushi on property.
I was going to say, if you want sushi, head down there, right? This would be interesting. Let's go over to Morimoto Asia, get some sushi, go to Splitsville, put them next to each other and see what we got.
I've been to both.
So I that's an interesting choice right there, because Morimoto is some great stuff.
Again, see, the things that we do for due diligence. So right. We're going to go get the moonshine. Somebody's going to go to Morimoto. Somebody's going to go to Splitsville. We'll all meet in the middle. I think it sounds like a plan.
Now you're talking.
Yep.
I can't guarantee that the moonshine bottle is going to be full when I get back. But
well, you can refill it.
There you go. See?
Yeah, and I would say I'd go get it, but I couldn't make that promise either.
Eventually, I'll find you guys.
So what else should we mention down here? We didn't talk about, you know, if you have kids, you have T-Rex down here, you have Rainforest Cafe. But with all of the other options, if you don't have kids, I don't know that I'm headed into either of those two.
And honestly, I feel like if you've got kids, I would rather save the money on the experience. Because, okay, let's be honest, if they go into T-Rex, you're going to have to walk out with one of those Build-A-Bear dinos.
Yeah. You're right. But my kids want to go to Planet Hollywood. They want to just sit back and look up and watch the movie on the inside of that big thing.
Right.
Not the movie, but the music videos. So they're a little older, though. They're just not as interested. It's been there, done that for those other two, I guess.
And that's what I was going to say. I think younger kids are going to be more, and Lisa, correct me if I'm wrong, since your kids are a little younger than Sam's, are more the T-Rex rainforest for the theme of it.
Yeah, that's all about the theme for them.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. you have a little boy that loves dinosaurs. You got to do it.
And my kids, you know, they are younger, but they would choose Planet Hollywood over that as well.
Got it.
Yeah, but I would tell somebody who's never been there or just, you know, is not as, we don't go 50 million times like all of us do. I don't think I would even bother with T-Rex or Rainforest. I would just go to Counter Service for the price.
Plenty of those here too.
Right.
There's plenty of counter service. The food trucks are even cool here. There's lots of options at Disney Springs.
And speaking of options, so when we first started talking about Springs, Sam, you said there's always something new coming to Disney Springs. Well, guess what?
We got something new.
We got something new that was announced today. They are building, and this is on the Disney Parks blog.
Okay.
City Works Eatery and Poorhouse. Poorhouse is P-O-U-R.
Ah, lots of taps. I can see them.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Opening in 2019.
So my next question always is, and I know it doesn't say there, are they replacing something or is this new construction? I don't know.
Now, this says it's going to open on the west side next summer.
Oh, it's new construction. It's new construction.
Yep.
Cool. Very nice. So there's more. Because that's the west side is what's getting completely redone. You look down there on the west side, and as I mentioned, the Disney Quest building's gone. They're redoing the Cirque du Soleil down there. So once you get down past House of Blues, there's a lot of space down there, and they're building another parking garage. So that's a whole other side over on the west side that's going to be part of Springs with lots of opportunity.
Yep.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah, it has become a theme park in and of itself.
Yes.
And me as a cast member, that was my home, was when it was Downtown Disney. So I have a special place in my heart for Disney Springs. I was a little worried when they started redoing everything, but I knew they had to fill up all this place of the, you know, no longer existent Pleasure Island. But I love Disney Springs. I go at least once every single trip.
Sure.
Just to hang out.
Yep. There's nothing wrong with it. And there's so many dining options. If you go to My Disney Experience and filter it to places that take dining reservations, now this includes shows and dessert packages and things like that, there's over 140. It's just crazy, and it can be overwhelming. So if anything else, hopefully we helped you guys on a couple of our favorites and the places where we like to hit. I think that was the goal tonight, right?
Absolutely.
I thought the goal was just to make us more hungry for November.
Yeah, it's done that. Although one thing this may make us hungry for, and this will be interesting because you guys might not know this, we're going to take the topic of this show, dining, and turn it into the 2019 Disney Nerds Podcast March Madness Tournament.
Yeah.
I'm not exactly sure how yet, but we're going to divvy it up to different locations because we have to include resorts. We'll probably do some kind of a selection where we figure out what the 64 are going to be that make the tournament. And we're going to start the tournament in February this year so that it ends in March. That'll be pretty cool.
I'm excited.
You guys listening, you know, you got a head start on some of our favorites and what we might be voting into the the Final Four.
I just gave all my secrets away.
But it depends on the matchups. It all comes down to the matchups.
It absolutely comes down to the matchups and how you decide overall. But this is exciting, and this show certainly paves the way of that.
That's what we'll do, and we'll do some cool stuff with that. So that's something you guys have to look forward to.
I can't wait. I'm ready. Let's go.
Did Jimmy just show up to give us all the details of what's where they can get in touch with us?
I think he did. Jimmy, how can you get in touch with us?
You can email us at questions@thedisneynerdspodcast.com and email us individually at ed@thedisneynerdspodcast.com, jimmy@thedisneynerdspodcast.com, etc. You can send us a message on Facebook to the page, The Disney Nerds Podcast. Join our group, Disney Nerds. Instagram @thedisneynerdspodcast and Twitter @thedisneynerds. Make sure to check out the website, www.thedisneynerdspodcast.com, and watch the live stream every Tuesday night at 9 o'clock Walt Disney World time.
So long, everybody.
Have a magical night, Hakuna Matata.
Kongaloosh.
join our jamboree. There's a simple rule that's compulsory. Mortals pay a token.